Well, let's look to the Word of God together tonight. I have a very simple message for you this evening entitled, Don't Just Walk the Walk, Talk the Talk. Now that sounds backwards, doesn't it? From what we usually hear and from what we often preach, we often say, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. And what we mean by that is to say, live the life, don't just talk about it, but live it out. Talk is cheap, we say, and actions speak louder than words. And we know what all of that means. And how many of you know? And the point of this message tonight is we ought to both walk the walk and talk the talk. I have found over the years that many Christians do walk the walk, but they don't talk much of the talk. There's not much conversation about the Lord, about the Word of God, about the things of God. Many Christian conversations are completely void of spiritual talk altogether. People get together in Christian settings and in Christian circles and they don't talk about the Lord. They don't talk about the scriptures. Many Christians' homes, though they may go to church together on Sundays and hear the Word of God, they don't really talk much about the Lord at home or about spiritual things at all. And so tonight we're going to think about that absence of spiritual talk in the conversations of believers and urge everybody, don't just walk the walk, but talk the talk. We want to look tonight at a few important scripture verses. This is a topical message tonight, a little bit unusual for us, but we're going to look at several verses of scripture from both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we begin with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and an instruction from the law of Moses about the conversations of God's people and how they ought to surround the Word of God. Here's what the scripture says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses said, here is the word of God presented to you, given by God through the ministry of angels on Mount Sinai. The word of God is to be so central to your life that everything that you do and say and see ought to be baptized in the word of God. This is the word of God in the old covenant that Moses is talking about. The word of God will be so powerful in your lives. If a man observes these laws, Moses would say, he or she will live by them. These words are so important, the word of God. And so Moses gives the instruction for us to write them on the walls and to tie them upon ourselves and to talk about them on a regular basis, to impress them, teach them to the children, and to do all kinds of things so that the word of God is always before you. You never lose sight of God's word in your life. You are reminded continually of the word of God at work. How many of you believe that God's word is living and active? Say amen. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. And all the way from the days of the old covenant, the Old Testament, God declared that we ought to keep the word of God central to our lives. So then we read from Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, an exhortation from the Psalms. The psalmist writes, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, and here it is, talk of all his wondrous works. Somebody tell me tonight what some of the wonderful works of God are. What has the Lord done that is wonderful? He saved us. He gave us his son, Jesus. He walks and talks with us. He heals us. He provides for us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to live within us. He created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He reigns and rules. He is a mighty God, as we sang. So the psalmist says, talk of all his wondrous works. So we hear Moses declaring that we ought to talk regularly about the things of God at all times in our lives. We hear the psalmist telling us to talk about his wonderful works. Now we look to one of my favorite scriptures at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, and this word, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Now think about what Malachi the prophet is saying here. As God's people are talking with each other, the scripture says, the Lord is eavesdropping. He is listening. We know that God sees everything, right? And he hears everything. And he's listening to all of our conversations. Think about that. Some of those conversations among believers no doubt please the Lord, and some of them perhaps displease the Lord as he hears his people speaking with each other. The Lord listened and heard as they talked with each other. Well, let's look to an illustration of that in our next scripture. In Luke chapter 24, verse 13, this is on the day of Jesus' resurrection. The scripture says, now that same day, two of them, the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. What were they talking? Well, they were talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. They did not yet know about the resurrection of Jesus at this moment. But they knew about his crucifixion. They knew about his ministry. They were no doubt talking about what a sadness it was that Jesus had been put to death on the cross. And they were discussing all of these things that had happened. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Jesus was interested to know. I think he knew already, but he wanted a confession from them. What is it you've been talking about together? Have you ever walked upon a conversation between two people and suddenly the conversation stopped? Anybody ever experienced that? And the moment that happened, what did you think? you might have thought, they're talking about me, maybe. Or you think, well, they're talking about something they don't want me to hear. This is a private conversation, you think. So Jesus, as he walks upon these two disciples, and at this time, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he's already, you know, appeared through solid walls into rooms that were locked. And so Jesus, no doubt, just sort of appears on the road, and as these two disciples are walking along, and he asks them this question, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Well, how many of you know if Jesus would ask that, it must be an important question? It was that day. It is for us now. And then we read one more verse of scripture, then we'll get to our outline this evening, Colossians 4, verse 6, an instruction from the Apostle Paul. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So our conversations as Christians with each other is the subject matter for tonight's lesson, tonight's thought processes. What are we talking about as we walk along? I've been around Christians all of my life. I know that it's very easy to talk with Christians in just about every setting without bringing up anything spiritual, even though you're a longtime Christian and a child of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can spend a whole day with someone and never really talk much about the Lord. You can have a fellowship activity and talk about just about everything. You can talk about politics. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about TV programs. You can talk about projects that you've got going on, your hobbies, your interests, the news of the day. You can talk about all different kinds of things without ever really talking about anything spiritual. In fact, sometimes it would be interesting for us to sort of measure out the percentage of our conversations that are spiritual in nature. You know, think about the fact that many times people will come to a meal, Christians will come to a meal time, if there is such a thing anymore, and sit down to have a meal, and though the conversation has been completely secular up to that point, they will pray a brief prayer, and as soon as the amen is said from the prayer, there's not one more word about anything spiritual, about the Lord, or about what the Lord has done, or what the Lord is doing, or what we want to do in the Lord, or be in the Lord, or any of those things. The spiritual conversation just sort of drops out of the whole process. That is a practical reality in the lives of many Christians. So this evening we want to talk about talking the talk and including the things of the Lord in our regular conversations with each other. I have to say that I'm sure that everybody and anybody in the house tonight could benefit by examining ourselves. How many of you could say amen? The truth is, if we never examine ourselves in some of these matters, we never grow and we never learn and we never change anything. So let's talk this evening. This won't be a long message. It's already been longer than I thought. But let's talk about rationale for talking the talk. Why? Resistance to talking the talk, what that's about. Rules for talking the talk. And results of talking the talk. Now look at me, everybody. The talk is just spiritual conversation, okay? What's an example of that? Boy, isn't the Lord good? Aren't you glad for what the Lord has done? Or what do you think this scripture is speaking, talking about a scripture, talking about the good things of God, giving a testimony, giving a praise report, speaking something about the Lord? There's just about anything we could include in that. All right, so let's begin by thinking about rationalization for the rationale and the reason for talking the talk, all right? And we look again there at Jesus' question to the disciples, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Are you including me in the conversation? Well, let's think about that. Why do we want to talk spiritually on a regular basis? Well, first, God's grace and goodness are too great for us to keep quiet. Isn't that right? How many of you, the Lord has done great things for you in your life? How many of you have regular experiences with God being good to you in some way, in some fashion? I've been waiting. My car's been in the shop for a little over two weeks. My car's been in the shop. We've been waiting. How many of you know, even though if you buy an extended warranty, you have to cross your fingers and hold your breath? No, I'm kidding about that. And pray that they'll cover what you need. I have a major problem with my car right now. A major problem that would bankrupt the richest of persons, I'm telling you. And I have an extended warranty on that car because it's an older car, my convertible car. It's an older car. It's about 8 years old. I had bought an extended warranty when I bought it because it was already older. And so the BMW dealership has been wrestling with the extended warranty company to see if they're even going to cover the repair on the car. I told the repairman, if the warranty company doesn't cover it, you might just get to keep it because it would be so expensive. Well, yesterday afternoon, finally they called and said, good news, the warranty is going to, they're going to cover the repair. I immediately said, oh, Brenda, hallelujah. They're going to thank the Lord. And we began to thank the Lord for covering the, how many of you know there are many various things to thank the Lord for on a regular basis. So rather than just saying, oh, that's awesome, get the Lord into the picture. God's grace and goodness are too great for us to keep quiet. Now, that's a simple illustration. You know that there are many things far greater than having a car repair covered by the warranty. How many of you know God has saved us by his grace, washed away our sins, given us the hope of everlasting life, walks with us on a day-to-day basis, has given us so much more than we ever deserved. His grace and goodness are worth talking about. He is a good God. God's grace and goodness are too great for us to keep quiet. That means even as we discuss something together, we might just say, pastors might just say to each other, the Lord is really good. I'm so grateful for what the Lord is doing in this particular category. The people of God talk about these things. Look at the second rationale for talking the talk. Spiritual subjects are too significant for us to keep quiet. There are many things in this world where we hear the opinions of the world, the thought processes of the world on a regular basis, and we need God's word in the midst of any and every situation because his word has to trump the words of this world. There are many subjects, and so when we talk about, we'll talk about dealing with principles and priorities in our conversation in just a minute, but spiritual subjects are important, so we don't want to leave those out of our conversation. Look at a third rationale. Words are too weighty and worthwhile for us to keep quiet about the things of God. I doubt if your conversations are lacking in spiritual subject matter, I doubt that it's because you just don't talk much. Because most of us talk plenty, isn't that right? You look up here and say, yeah, he talks plenty. He goes on and on. We talk plenty, and our words make a difference. And our words set the tones for our lives in many ways. And so words are powerful, weighty, they're too worthwhile for us to keep quiet. So we ought to be talking about the things of the Lord, and yet there is this resistance to that among many people. There's an uncomfortableness, an awkwardness for many Christians about bringing up spiritual things. And so let's think about some of those this evening. Some think spiritual talk is too personal or private. Well, we don't discuss these things with each other. Well, who said that? Who taught us that we should not talk about our faith and our relationship with the Lord? That doesn't come from God's heart. That comes from some kind of a deception about what is meant to be spoken. And so when we think about talking spiritual talk, it's too personal or private? No. Some think spiritual talk is too pious or prideful. If I talk about the Lord, people will just think I'm trying to be extra religious and trying to impress them. But remember that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in the heart ought to be coming out of our mouths on a regular basis. And I would even go beyond that to say, what's in the mind surely is going to be coming out of the mouth. Isn't that right? So if we're thinking about the Lord, there ought to be conversation about the Lord. Why would there be a gate on our lips when it comes to the things of God? Some think spiritual talk is too personal or private. Some think it's too pious or prideful. Some think spiritual talk is too paltry or petty. Just too insignificant to be talking about spiritual things. Sort of like talking about the weather, as if we have to just bring up some little thing just for the sake of bringing something up. And lastly, some think spiritual talk is too pesky or perturbing. Well, other people don't want to hear that. Other people don't want to talk about the Lord. Other people don't want to engage in that conversation. It bothers other people to talk about those things. Well, how many of you know that if we're in the midst of Christian company, that ought never be the case? It ought never be the case. Sometimes, though, the reality is when we're visiting and speaking and conversing with other Christians who maybe are not accustomed to spiritual conversation either, if we begin that process, they may be a little uncomfortable because they've not really been accustomed to talking in those kinds of terms. But how many of you know iron sharpens iron, and we ought to sharpen each other in those areas? So if it is uncomfortable, we ought to get beyond that level of discomfort and begin to enjoy discussing the things of the Lord. When I was a college student at the University of Missouri, I had a good friend there named Peter, who was a good friend who was involved in a number of student ministries. We became friends up there. He came from kind of a different spiritual background, but he was a born-again Christian, loved the Lord, was passionate. He's in the ministry today as well down in Springfield, Missouri, and a good man, a man of God. And he had learned in his discipleship as a young person to ask questions, spiritual questions, to other believers on a regular basis. So he would say, out of the blue, he would say, "Well, what's the Lord doing in your life right now?" Well, you want to talk about awkward for somebody who wasn't used to that kind of conversation? How many of you know that can be awkward? What's the Lord doing in your life right now? What are you learning in this season? That puts you on the spot a little bit, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Maybe questions like this: what are some things you're thankful for right now in your life? Things that stir us and engage us. Well, spiritual conversations have to start with somebody speaking out something. And sometimes on the surface, they may feel a little perturbing, but the point is we've got to get used to that and get beyond that. There are some settings where, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, some settings where some things are not as appropriate in those settings to be discussed as in other settings. But among Christian believers, all of those things ought to be fair game. And so that we begin to be comfortable with talking about the Lord on a regular basis. I often have said to people that I have a good excuse for those things because I'm a full-time pastor. And so sometimes I will go into hospital rooms and things like that where nobody has been bold enough to talk about the Lord. And I just will say, people are expecting me to ask someone, "Well, are you ready to meet the Lord?" So I never mind asking those kinds of questions to people. Even to those whom I'm not sure about their salvation, you know, somebody who may be terminally ill, facing great challenges, I have no trouble saying to someone, are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you ever accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? I can get right down to the nitty-gritty, and everybody expects that of a preacher. But you know what? As Christians, we can become comfortable with asking those kinds of things as well. To break the ice, to jump into conversations that are important. And you know what? When we engage in those kinds of conversations in the spirit of love and in the concern of the Lord Jesus, they are met in an entirely different way. So we've got to get over the resistance to engaging in spiritual conversations and begin to excel and exceed in those areas. Rationale for talking the talk. Resistance to talking the talk. Let's talk about some rules for talking about the Lord. What are some thought processes there? Look at Deuteronomy 6 again, where the Lord says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your what?" Upon your what? Upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. Now let's look at the various contexts here. Talk about them when you sit at home. Huh? When you sit at home and when you what? walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So just about everywhere you are, Moses says, you should be talking about the Word of God and the things of God. When you're at home, when you're out and about, when you're getting up in the morning, when you're going to bed at night, talking about the Lord, praying together, discussing spiritual things, talking about spiritual realities and spiritual principles. So let's consider the proper settings for spiritual talk. Well, among family, among friends, among the faithful, and even among the faithless. You know, as we move about, some of you are out and about among unbelievers a whole lot more than I am. Some of you work with unbelievers on a regular basis. You have family members who don't know the Lord. I have found that as you maneuver in those kinds of settings, the Holy Spirit will help you to say the right things if you're willing to speak out. And if you're willing to be used by the Lord will help you to engage in conversations with people that will be fruitful and that will testify to the goodness of God in your life. And that will share the hope of the Lord in their lives as well. So we need the power and the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. But every setting is appropriate in some way to talk about the Lord. Second, consider the proper subjects of spiritual talk. Well, praises are always appropriate. Giving praise to God, thank the Lord for what He's done. God has been so good to me. How about promotions of the Lord, talking about what the Lord can do, what the Lord will do, how the Lord can help someone, promoting the Lord in your conversations and building faith and building encouragement in the hearts of others. Talking about the principles and priorities of the Lord, what's important to God, and of course talking about professions, what I believe, what I'm confident about, what I know in my spirit. How about prayers on a regular basis? We can talk about prayer and we can engage in prayer. You know, it's usually a lot more fruitful to engage in prayer than to just mention prayer. If you're going to say, I'll be praying for you, it's just as easy to say, well, let's pray together right now. That's a step beyond. Let me pray. I'll never forget a next door neighbor that I had one time. They were from a different spiritual tradition. I believe they loved the Lord, but an entirely different religious tradition. And I remember when that lady was diagnosed with cancer, and they shared with me that she had been diagnosed with cancer and they were going to be going through a lot of things with that. And so that evening, I walked over with them to their back patio and sat down with them for a minute. And I said, I would like to just pray with you about these things. Can we just pray together? And we prayed together about her situation, prayed for the Lord's help and the Lord's peace. That prayer brought great comfort to her. Many people never have anyone pray with them. Many people in life, they never have anyone pray with them. And I was able to pray with them. And do you know what struck them about that? They texted me after I got home and they said, thank you for saying that you were going to pray with us. And they highlighted the word with us for this. So they were recognizing that I wasn't somehow suggesting that they didn't know how to pray. I wasn't somehow demeaning them by saying, well, my religion is better than your religion or whatever that is. They wanted me to know how much they appreciated my partnership with them in praying. The Holy Spirit, I didn't even think about that when I said that to those people. But you know what? When we're willing to be used by the Lord in simple little ways, don't you believe the Holy Spirit will help us? He will help us. And the Holy Spirit helped in that situation. And that meant so much to them that I would be partnering with them in prayer. And so prayer is always a good part, a vital part of our spiritual conversations with other people. Rules for talking the talk, the proper settings for spiritual talk, the proper subjects. And let's think about, lastly, the proper spirit of spiritual talk. Well, of course, we want to be accurate in our assertions and articulations. We want to say the right things. If we're going to, don't you believe that if we're going to talk about the things of God, we ought to talk correctly, in with proper theology? We don't want to say a bunch of nonsense to people. So we've got to be careful with that. We want to be biblical. We want to be proper in those things. And the appropriate attitudes in talking about the things of God. Especially, well, not just with unbelievers, but especially with unbelievers. We've got to listen to what the scripture up there said from Colossians 4. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. With the help of the Lord in the midst of all that. So we've got to have the proper spirit in the midst of those conversations. So finally this evening, let's talk about the results of talking about the Lord on a regular basis. Malachi 3:16 again, this unusual verse from the Old Testament. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. He listed their names in a scroll of remembrance as he listened to their conversations with each other. What does spiritual conversation do? Well, spiritual conversations intensify your focus. If you're going to be talking about the Lord on a regular basis, it means you're going to have to be thinking about the Lord on a more regular basis. Could somebody say amen? You're going to have to bring those things to the forefront of your attention. You're going to have to, I believe if we're going to intentionally implement this thought process of this message tonight, it's going to require intentionality for us to be thinking about things that we can begin to talk about on a regular basis. But never fear, there's plenty of things to talk about when it comes to the goodness of God. Would you say amen? So spiritual conversations intensify your focus. If we train ourselves to talk more about the Lord, we will force ourselves to think more about the Lord and to focus more on Him. A second result of talking the talk, spiritual conversations individualize your faith as they bring your own faith to a more personal level, so that you're talking about the things of God from your own life, from your own heart, from your own mind, from your own experiences, yes? And your faith becomes even more personal as you begin to hold conversations about those things. And you know what? The reality is, as we talk with each other about spiritual things, we learn more about each other, and our relationships with other believers become stronger and more vibrant and more complete in knowledge and awareness, right? So we individualize our faith, and we connect better with people as we talk about the Lord together. Spiritual conversations, they intensify your focus. They individualize your faith. Thirdly, they impact your family and friends. As we talk about the Lord, that brings great impact upon those around about us. As we raise the level of consciousness in our set in our family settings, our settings of friends, as we raise that level of the consciousness of God and the awareness of the Lord's presence and the Lord's closeness. I believe that when Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." I believe that. And Jesus said in that setting, "Where two or three agree as touching anything in my name, I will do that." So Jesus taught us to be agreeing together on a regular basis as believers. When we're gathered together, we're agreeing together, right? Well, how do we know if we're agreed together if we never open our mouths to speak? But as we speak to one another and agree together in the Lord, I know that if I were to say to Al right now, Brother Al, hasn't the Lord been good to us? I know what he would say. He would say, oh, yeah, he's been so good to me. And I might say, well, Al, I'm so thankful tonight that the Lord has done this, that, and the other for me. And Al says, yeah, he's done those things for me too. We agree together about the goodness of God, and that agreement then becomes spiritually powerful for us. And we impact each other as we converse with each other. So these spiritual conversations, they intensify your focus, they individualize your faith, they impact your family and friends, and lastly this evening, spiritual conversations impress your Father. Jesus is listening. And he asks us, what are you talking about as you're walking along together? The Old Testament prophet Malachi said, the Lord listened and heard as his people talked with one another. I can tell you this evening, he is still listening today. And Jesus is still pressing us with the question, what are you talking about as you walk along together? Well, I'm talking about the news. Well, I'm talking about the latest movie I watched. Well, I'm talking about the weather. I'm talking about politics. I'm talking about a lot of things. Have you included the Lord in your conversation? What are you talking about as you walk along together? And when we talk about the Lord is pleased. And so we close the message tonight with this simple prayer from Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Here's what I think I can guarantee you. I think I can guarantee you this. If the meditations of your heart are in the right place, then so will be the words of your mouth. For the psalmist, those came as a pair, as partners. The meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouths pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Amen and amen.